A couple of very hopeful stories related to nerve damage and disease this week. First one, a lesson, really offers us a lesson in basic research for all you naysayers who can't understand how working with lowly plants and animals can teach us anything about the human condition. Label this one, how learning what goes on inside that lowly yeast cell may yield an answer to treating Parkinson's disease. Because in research published this week in the journal Science, scientists have shown that once they found a way to reverse the damage done by proteins to yeast, they were able to apply that knowledge to reversing the damage done to nerves of rats suffering from Parkinson's disease. Here to talk about the seemingly strange connection is molecular biologist Susan Lindquist. Dr. Lindquist is a member of the Whitehead Institute for Biomedical Research, where she's also an investigator for the Howard Hughes Medical Institute and professor of biology at MIT. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
Can you walk us through this a little bit, how you get from a yeast to a rat?
Sure. It does sound kind of strange, I will admit. Mm-hmm. It's been appreciated recently that many really dreadful human diseases are due to proteins not taking their right shapes, to them folding into the wrong kind of a shape, and then doing something bad. But these are really complicated, difficult diseases to study, and it's a difficult process to study. And I've been working on protein folding for a good many years now, and we've worked in lots of different organisms, and it turns out that the fungus, the yeast Saccharomyces cerevisiae, which is well known to you because it's the organism that produces the leavened bread and beer and wine.
Common yeast.
Yep, the common yeast. It's a wonderful workhorse in the laboratory. And so what the basic idea is the following. The code of life, DNA, or the double helix, is linear. And what that linear code does primarily is to code for the proteins that make up our bodies. And there are just thousands and thousands of these proteins, and each one of them has a different sequence of amino acids and folds up into a way that does something different. But it's the protein, when it's first translated from that linear genetic code, is also originally linear. It's just a long string of amino acids. And that protein does absolutely nothing until it folds up into a very, very specific shape, sort of like taking a sheet of origami paper and folding it into a dove or a sailboat or whatever. Anyway, this problem in folding is an extremely difficult one for all living systems to cope with, because these proteins have to arrive at these folds in an incredibly crowded environment. It's really packed inside living cells. It's just things constantly bumping into each other and into, especially with newly made proteins that are very, very sticky and have the tendency to what we call go off pathway and misfold. So this problem is as ancient as life itself, because of course it's an aspect of decoding the genome and turning it into something useful, useful protein. And living cells are always very, very crowded, because you get tremendous efficiencies out of having things so crowded. You can pass an electron from one protein to another. But they get this efficiency at a cost, and that is it's hard for proteins to fold in there. So that's an ancient problem, and it's universal. It's as old as life itself. And so that's a problem you can actually study very well in a yeast cell. And let me tell you, yeast cells are a lot easier and cheaper and faster to work with than working with rats or other experimental lab animals. So we over the past several years, it's become clear that there's a particular protein called alpha-synuclein that mucks things up in neurons and can lead to Parkinson's disease. And so we decided, well, what we do know how to study in yeast cells is problems in protein folding. So let's take this protein, which is not folding properly in neurons, and have yeast cells express the protein and see what happens. And sure enough, what we found was that the yeast cells died when this protein misfolded. What was really quite encouraging was the fact that we found that the yeast cells were just fine if they only had one copy of the gene for this protein and were making a small amount of it. But if we just simply doubled the amount of the protein that they made, they suddenly died. That was especially intriguing in light of Parkinson's disease, because there are quite a few families that have early onset Parkinson's disease. Normally this is a disease, sporadic disease of the elderly, but there are some families in which the disease appears early, and it turns out that in many cases it's the cause has been discovered to be the fact that these people have extra copies of this alpha-synuclein gene. So there's extremely strong dosage sensitivity in people as well as in yeast. So that and several other aspects of the way the protein was behaving in yeast made us think that, well, maybe the cells were dying for a reason that had something to do with the reason why the neurons are dying in a human brain. So that gave us a really terrific position to start from, because in yeast we could, their methods have been developed quite literally to simply allow you to ask the cell what's making it sick. And the way you do that is to take a library of yeast genes. So thanks to collaborators at the Harvard Proteomics Facility who've been busy creating some of the tools we've used, we can actually go into our freezers and get out dishes with 96 wells each. And we've got lots and lots of stacks of these dishes. And in each well, we have one individual gene for one particular yeast protein. And so we could take individually all of these genes and put them one by one into our yeast cells that were dying from this misfolded and misbehaving alpha-synuclein protein and ask, well, which of these genes made the cells better? And most of the genes had no effect at all. Some of the genes made them a little bit worse. But there was several different groups of genes that that actually rescued the cells from this alpha-synuclein-induced death. And there are several that we still need to study. We don't know too much about them yet, although we're very excited about them. But one particular group was very intriguing because they all of these genes had already been shown by other geneticists and cell biologists to function in a very particular place in the cell and doing a very particular thing. And that is controlling the trafficking of proteins around the cell. So yeast cells and our cells too regulate trafficking of certain types of proteins by putting them inside membranes and little vesicle compartments. And they move proteins from one region of the cell to another region of the cell to another region of the cell, and sometimes they then move them out of the cell or sometimes they bring them into the cell. But they do a lot of this through these membrane-bounded compartments. And what we found was that genes that helped the traffic at a particular stoplight point. This traffic, by the way, of these things going around the cell is actually controlled very, very carefully in a way that you can analogize it to traffic in the city of Boston being controlled by stoplights. Mm-hmm. So we found that there was a pileup basically happening at one particular corner. And we found that the genes that were rescuing these yeast cells were genes that pushed the traffic through. Sort of like if you have a broken stoplight and you get a policeman out there and he tells you to go on through. And so we thought, well, this is really intriguing because this is a process that's common to all cells. We wondered, though, whether it could possibly have anything to do with Parkinson's disease. And, of course, the only way to look at that is to look in neuronal systems. And we were very fortunate I would have to say that probably one of the best aspects of this study for me has been just the wonderful group of collaborators we've been working with on this. It's really been a very, very much of a group effort. So we worked with laboratories that were working on nematodes, which is a lowly little, very, very tiny worm. We worked with collaborators who were working on fruit flies and with collaborators who were working on rat embryonic cells in culture. And my postdoc, who had been and very much involved in helping to find some of these genes in yeast, his name is Aaron Gittler, he actually took the relative of this yeast gene, which, as I told you, the process is very highly conserved, so it's not surprising that the proteins are very highly conserved. So he took the mammalian version of that gene, and he cloned it into systems that would allow them to be expressed in the worm. This is with Guy Caldwell's laboratory, or in the fruit fly. This was with Nancy Benigni's laboratory, or in the rat embryonic cultures, and that was with Chris Roche's laboratory. And they had all independently previously built their own Parkinson's disease model in these simple organisms. And, of course, those organisms are different from yeast cells in that they have real neurons. In fact, they not only have neurons, they have a particular kind of neuron called a dopaminergic neuron. And the thing that's interesting about Parkinson's disease and many other neurodegenerative diseases is that they seem to hit particular neurons. They seem to be very specific. And so for that reason, in fact, most people had thought that the only way you could ever really study these disease processes was actually to look at those particular neurons. Our reasoning was that, well, maybe something very general is going wrong, and it's actually affecting all cells. It's just that particular neurons might be more vulnerable to that particular thing going wrong. So our collaborators took these genes, this in one particular gene that's really the major stoplight control center at this particular point of protein trafficking, and they had made nematodes, for example, that were expressing alpha-synuclein, this bad protein for Parkinson's disease, in the dopaminergic neurons of this little worm. And sure enough, when those worms were also expressing the protein that we'd identified in yeast, they got a lot better. Mm-hmm. Then we went to the fruit fly, and Nancy Bonini's group had made a fruit fly model where, again, they were overexpressing this alpha-synuclein protein. They found that it specifically killed these dopaminergic neurons. And then when they expressed broadly this particular protein that we had found, it rescued the fruit flies. And then finally, in probably the best and most convincing case, was the work with Chris Roche's laboratory. And that was with real mammalian neurons. So he takes the midbrains out of embryonic rats and puts them into a culture dish.
I'm going to have to stop you. Dr. Lindquist, we're getting to the punchline. You're such a great storyteller. I don't want to interrupt you. But sure. We have to take a break. You've gone on for 10 minutes. I think you've told the longest story ever on Science Friday. So stay with us. And it was great. We'll be right back after this short break with Dr. Lindquist. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. We're talking with Dr. Susan Lindquist of the Whitehead Institute, telling us about getting right to the end of this great story about the connection between yeast and these laboratory rats who now express the same gene. Tell us what happened there.
So it wasn't actually whole rats. The experiments with whole rats take a long time, and they're difficult and expensive. So what we've been able to do work with actually is rat embryonic neurons in a culture dish. And, of course, eventually we would like to go into the whole animals. But what we've done already is, I think, pretty promising. So we had identified this gene from yeast that looked like it was taking cells that were expressing this bad protein in Parkinson's disease, this alpha-synuclein protein, and fixing the yeast cells. And we took the related gene from mammals and worked with Chris Roche, who'd set up a embryonic rat culture model for Parkinson's disease. He'd take out the midbrain region of these rats and put them in culture. And, of course, it would contain a mixture of all different kinds of neurons. But he then applied an insult that's associated with Parkinson's disease, specifically, in fact, a mutant form of this alpha-synuclein protein. And what it does is it specifically causes these dopaminergic neurons, the ones that get sick in Parkinson's disease, to die in the culture dish. And what we found was that when we expressed this fix-it protein from yeast at the same time as the rat cells were being exposed to the alpha-synuclein protein, they survived. So taking, you know, a disease which is thought to have been very, very specific to a very particular group of neurons, what we really showed there was that what's happening is something very, very basic is going wrong. It's a very, very basic cell process that all cells have. And it's just that the dopaminergic neurons are particularly sensitive. When that goes wrong a little bit, people will wind up getting problems in their 60s or 70s. If you were to just wait another 100 years or so, probably you'd see a lot of their other cells having problems too. But it's the dopaminergic neurons that are killed first.